turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis 27. My subject this morning is coming to the Father. Coming to the Father. How can a sinner come to holy God? How can a sinner come and find acceptance with a righteous and holy God? We're all going to have to stand before God. How can I, a sinner, find acceptance with God? In order to come to God the Father and find acceptance with God the Father, we must come in the Son that the Father loves. We must come through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, resting in Him alone. To be accepted of righteous God, we must come trusting in Christ our righteousness alone. We must come robed in His garment of righteousness. We must come to God with the bread from heaven, that one in whom the Father delights. We must come smelling of the firstborn Son, that one who gave Himself a sweet-smelling sacrifice for God. And those that come to God believing on Christ, trusting Christ alone, the Father accepts. And He blesses us with eternal inheritance with Christ, joint heirs with Christ. And that's the picture we have in our text this morning. Let's begin reading here in verse 1, Genesis 27, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. Isaac, in this passage, is a type of God the Father. He's a picture of God the Father. And Esau, in that he is the eldest son, in that he is the firstborn son, Esau is a picture of Christ here. Now, God has used reprobate men. We know God said, Esau have I hated. But God in the Scripture has used men who did not know God to picture Christ. He used King Cyrus, who was a Gentile king from another country, to picture Christ. We read about him in Isaiah. He used Nebuchadnezzar. I believe God saved Nebuchadnezzar, but while as yet Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked sinner and didn't know God, God used him to picture Christ. He gave all the nations into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, and he told Israel to bow to him. And he said, For why will you die? It's a beautiful picture of Christ. And in this text, God uses Esau as a picture of Christ, in that he's the firstborn. He's the elder brother of Jacob. And it says here, and he said, Behold now, Isaac said, Behold, I'm old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow. He's speaking to Esau. And he says, Go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat. Bring me that savor, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. God our Father sent forth His Son, the Lord Jesus, into this field. He sent Him forth to lay down His life, a sweet savor unto God, to bring to God that which God loves, a perfect, holy, righteous obedience. And He did it because it was the Father's will that He have the blessing. It was Isaac's will here that Esau have the blessing. And it was God the Father's will that His Son, the Lord Jesus, have the blessing. In verse 5, And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. Now Rebekah is a picture of the church. She's going to teach Jacob how it is that he must come to his Father. And that's the work of the church. We're to teach sinners how they must come to God the Father. And it says, "And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death." Now, Jacob literally is God's elect. And he typifies here every chosen child of God who God chose in Christ and blessed with all spiritual blessings before the world was made. He's a picture of God's elect. In verse 8, she says, "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee." So in this scene, Isaac's old. He's about to die. And he wants his eldest son to have the blessing. He sends him forth into the field to bring him venison, this savory dish that Isaac loved, so that before he dies, he can bless Esau before the Lord. Now, Rachel knows Jacob is God's elect. She knows Jacob is God's elect. And she is determined, through faith in God, she's determined that Jacob get this blessing. Now, there's a picture here in the fact that God the Father will have his eldest son to be his heir, the firstborn among many brethren, just as Isaac wanted Esau to have the blessing. But as the church, we know God will also give that blessing to his elect, his Jacobs, in this earth. And the church's desire is to see those elect sinners called out and given the blessing of God, made a joint heir with Christ. So that's what you have here in this: Isaac wanting Esau to have the blessing, Rachel wanting Jacob to have the blessing. You put that together, you have God the Father blessing his son and blessing his elect in his son. Now, what Rachel does here and what Jacob does here is deceitful. It's deceitful. They're deceiving Isaac. There's no doubt about that. But it was God's will for Isaac to bless Jacob and give him the blessing. This was God's will. Jacob was a chosen of God to receive all the blessings of the firstborn. And as such, he's a type of a sinner that God chose to receive all the blessings of Christ in Christ. Now, what we're seeing here, again, the only way a sinner can come to God our Father is to come through faith in Christ, to come one with Christ, trusting Christ with his garments on, one with Christ. That's how we find acceptance with the Father. That's what we're going to see. We're going to see a picture of the church preaching the gospel. We're going to see why it is we must come believing on Christ, and we're going to see the blessings that the Father gives to his children who come through faith in Christ. Now, first of all, the church of God is used of God to teach God's people how we must come to Christ by faith. That's what you heard Brother Kevin preach this morning, how God brings us to faith in Christ. I think one of the greatest blessings God could give to a pastor is to use him to preach to somebody and then raise up that man and use him to pastor another congregation. I sat here listening to Kevin preach and I just thought, that is a rich blessing that God would use this sinner to preach to that sinner and then raise him up and use him to be your pastor. What a blessing. That blessed my heart to hear that. So we as the church, we're sent by God to declare how sinners, the one way sinners come to God the Father. It says here in verse 5, Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. Verse 6, and Rebekah spake to Jacob her son. She heard the father speak, and she spake to her son. And now, she said, verse 9, Now go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 kids of the goats, and I'll make thee savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth, and thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Rebekah heard the voice of the father. She knew the father's will. And she took that word she heard from the father, and she gave it to the son. That's our charge. Hear the word from God, the Father, and declare the word to His children. Declare the word to His children. God's grace has made us to hear the word of our Father. We've heard the word. We've heard the gospel. We believe the gospel. We've been taught His will. We've been taught God's purpose to exalt His Son, to have His firstborn have all the glory. We've been taught the gospel that the only way a sinner can come to the righteous God of heaven and earth is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we tell what we've heard. And we're telling this because we're in search of God's elect. We tell it to everybody. We don't know who they are. We're just declaring what we've heard. And we're waiting on God to call out His children. That's what we're waiting for. The purpose of God in election is to give God our Father and His Son, the firstborn, all the glory. That's the purpose of election. And so the Father receives all the glory, and His Son receives the glory as the firstborn among many brethren. You know, in Romans 9, verse 11, the children being not yet born, here you... Before this even came about, you had Esau and Jacob in the same womb of the same father. They're both the same. God made us know they're the same. No difference in them. Neither had they done any good or evil. They had not done a thing. That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. That it might be of him that calleth. Not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. This is the purpose of God according to election. God's purpose is so that we know salvation is not of us. It's not of our will. It's not of our choosing. It's of God the Father who calls. He makes his people. And the purpose of God the Father in this is so that Christ will be the firstborn. He's the firstborn among many brethren. We have here a picture of this in type. The Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, whom he did elect, whom he did choose, whom he did ordain to eternal life, he also did predestinate. God doesn't leave anything to chance. There's no such thing as luck. God purposed everything. And he predestinated his people to be conformed to the image of Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, God's going to save some sinners, but this thing's not about you and me. This thing's about giving God all the glory for saving whom he will, having mercy on whom he will, and it's about his son being the firstborn among all those God chose to save, so that his son gets all the glory. Now, this is what we have pictured here. If we're going to come to God the Father, we have to come in the firstborn. We have to come as the firstborn son if we're going to receive a blessing from the Father. Now, what's the reaction when a sinner's first made to know he's a sinner? And he begins to hear this gospel preached that he has to come in Christ alone. What's the first reaction that a sinner's apt to have when he hears this good news? Look at verse 11. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Genesis 27:11. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will fill me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, not a blessing. When you hear the gospel preached and God makes you to know what a sinner you are, this message comes, it's too good to be true. You hear this message come and you think, I'm nothing like Christ. I'm a sinner. He's righteous. I got an impure heart. He's holy. If I come to God, He's going to know I'm nothing like His Son. I'll bring a curse upon me, not a blessing upon me. You already have a curse on you. And I already have a curse on me. We sinned and broke God's law in Adam in the garden. And we came under the curse of the law. Do you know what the curse of the law is? The curse of the law is, number one, you can't keep it. And number two, it demands death from all who break it. The wages of sin is death. We've sinned against God. We have to die. Every single sinner in this world, without exception, shall die under the justice of God. Every single one. The difference is the difference God makes. Those He chose in Christ die under the justice of God in Christ at Calvary. And those that meet God without Christ will die in justice, in the condemnation of God. But God's justice will be executed upon every sinner. The soul that sinneth, it must die. You and I have sinned against God. We must die. We must die. I already have a curse on me. But Christ Jesus is the last Adam. He's the one who fulfilled all righteousness. He's the one who came representing His people as the head, as the representative, with all of His people in Him. So that what He did, His people really did. So I have to come to God who's righteous and holy, trusting His Son and believing His Son to be all my acceptance with God. So this message comes at first to us as sinners when we see what sinners we are. And we think, is God really going to receive me if I believe on Christ? Well, that's why the church continues preaching the gospel. We continue preaching the gospel. Verse 13, his mother said to him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. Rebecca here is Jacob's mother, and she loves him. But even more than that, she knows the will of God for him. God has told her that Jacob have I loved. She knows God is Jacob is the one who's going to be receive the blessing. She knows this. See, as the church of God, we love His people. We want to see His people called to faith in Christ. But even more than that, the reason we preach this gospel is because we have this assurance. God shall give the blessing to all His elect. He shall give the blessing to His elect. I know the purpose of God. If there's any sinner sitting here now that's not believed on Christ, I will tell you the purpose of God. Do you want me to tell you what the secret of life is? Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'll show you what the secret of life is right here. This is why God made this world. This is why God holds this world in store right now. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. God hath in Christ, He hath abounded toward us, towards His elect, toward His people, towards those He's given faith. He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's a big word that means when it's all over with. In the end, He is going to gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth even in him. When you read all things there, he's talking about all his people. He's going to gather all his people in Christ. Those that are in heaven already, those that are in earth when he comes, with the one way we're going to be accepted of God is in Christ the Beloved. Look at this. In whom also we have obtained the blessing. We've obtained the inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of God's glory who first trusted Christ. He trusted this whole thing into the hands of his Son in eternity, and his Son's going to gather together all his elect in him and present them to the Father without spot and without blame. That's the purpose of God. That's why this world was created. That's why it's held in store now. That's the secret of life. That's what God's doing. That's his will. That's his will. And so we tell sinners, Rebekah said to Jacob, upon me be thy curse. That's what Christ said in eternity. In eternity, Christ became a surety. Now, one time years ago when I was working in Tennessee, I stopped and I filled my truck up with gasoline. And I went into the store to pay. And when I got in the store to pay, I realized I didn't have a dollar, not $1 on me. And I didn't have a credit card. And there I am, I've done filled up my truck with gasoline. And I have no way to pay. And I said, I need to run over here to an ATM and draw some money out of this ATM. Well, they're not going to let me leave there. I'm having a full tank of gas. I said, well, I tell you what, I'll give you my driver's license as surety for you. So you know, you have a guarantee I'm coming back and I'm going to pay for this gas. A surety, you know, somebody who you go to buy a car and you can't pay it, and so your mom or your dad says, well, I'll sign, I'll be surety for them. So if they don't pay it, I'll pay it. Well, Christ's suretyship's different than that. Christ's suretyship is, he knew we wasn't going to pay. He knew we would not pay. He knew we would not be able to obey God in perfect righteousness. That was God's purpose. But Christ said, I'll be surety for them. I will pay. I will be made a curse for them and save them and honor your law at the same time. You see, this thing has to do with God's righteousness. The reason God sent forth his Son into this world was to manifest his righteousness. Romans 3 tells us that. He came forth to manifest how God can be just, execute justice upon those that he's going to save, and how God can also show those same sinners mercy and justify us. Darius, he had this dilemma. He loved Daniel, but they tricked him into making this law. They said if anybody prays to their God and they don't pray to you, Darius, then you throw them in the lion's den. And so they brought him. He signs this decree, and they come back. And the laws of the Medes and Persians was, whatever our law says, we carry it out. Whatever God's law is, he's carrying it out. And they came to him, and here's Daniel, a man he loved. And they said, he broke your law. Your law says he's got to die. And Darius stayed up all night trying to figure out, how can I honor my law and kill this man and show this man mercy and let him live? And he couldn't figure out how to do it. God did. God sent his Son. And in his Son, he honored his law. Justice is satisfied. And his Son justified us from our sin. And that's how God's just and a Savior. It's in Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that it hangeth on a tree. And so Rebekah told him, you just obey my voice. And what I'm telling you this morning is, you hear God's word and obey his voice. God says you've got to come in Christ. You've got to come trust in Christ. Hear him and obey him. And what happens when that word's made effectual in the heart? By God. The sinner's made willing. and he obeys God. Look at verse 14. And Jacob went, and he fetched, and he brought to his mother. He brought what she told him to bring. Now, secondly, we see why sinners must come to God our Father through faith in Christ. One, we must come in the raiment of Christ Jesus, our elder brother. We must come in the righteousness of the firstborn Son of God. That's why we come through faith in Christ. That's what I'm telling you. Believe on Christ. Why? You have to come to God robed in the righteousness of Christ. Look at verse 15. Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. To make this garment of righteousness for his people, Christ came and took our place in what's called substitution. He was made flesh because his children were flesh. He was made under the law because his children had broken the law. Our Lord Jesus walked under that law, examined by that law, was found spotless before the law of God. No sin in thought, word, or deed. Remember how they put the lamb up in the old covenant and they examined him to make sure he didn't even have one little hair that was a different color. That was picturing Christ. Walked this world for 33 years and proved himself to be perfectly obedient under the law, tempted by the devil, tempted by men, never once sinned. Then what did they do to the lamb? Then the lamb was brought, and the sins of Israel were transferred to the lamb. Our Lord Jesus Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the spotless Lamb of God, and he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Before God's going to pour justice out on his Son, showing how righteous he is, God first made his Son to bear the sin of his people before he would pour out any justice on his Son. But once our Savior was made to bear the sin of his people, once that Lamb was made to bear the sin of Israel, he didn't bear the sin of everybody, he bore the sin of Israel. And once Christ was made to bear the sin of Israel, what happened? They took that Lamb and they killed him. When Christ bore the sin of his people, then he was made a curse. He bore the curse of the law. The wages of sin is death. Our Lord Jesus Christ, while he was alive on the cross, died the second death that his people would have had to die if we'd have met God in justice. The second death's a living death. The second death is to be cast out of God's presence. The second death is to be forsaken of God and live forever forsaken of God. That's hell. God taking the restraints off of everyone around you so that they can gnash upon you with their teeth and all the while knowing God, knowing what you could have had, and yet not being able to have any of that satisfied, none of that gratified. Forsaken of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ loved the Father. And our Lord Jesus Christ bore separation from God the Father on the cross. In those hours of darkness, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew why. That was for our information. He was being forsaken because he said, thou art holy, and I am a worm and no man. We're here this morning to observe the Lord's table, and we're going to take a piece of bread that's broken, and it's a symbol of unleavened bread. It's a symbol of our sinless Redeemer who gave his body to be broken for his people, to have the sins of his people laid on him and to bear our judgment and to be broken for his people. We're going to take a cup of wine and we're going to drink this cup of wine, which puts us in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ willingly pouring out his life's blood unto death for his people. I wish that hit us in our heart more than it does. This thing's not just a doctrine to debate and kick around and argue with folks about. We're talking about God in human flesh poured out His life's blood for His people. And when our Redeemer said, "It is finished," He meant, "It is finished." God satisfied God. His justice is satisfied. The wages of sin have been paid for His people. When that veil split from top to bottom, God was telling us in unmistakable clarity, the law is perfectly fulfilled. That cup right there is not fulfilled. Filled full means it's to the point that you can't put another drop in it. Christ said, "I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fill it so full you can't possibly add anything to it." And that's what He did. And that's what He did. And when He died physically, that was the exclamation point, showing us, brethren, that second death's been paid for. He already died that living death for His people. It's done. It's done. But He didn't stay dead. He came out of that tomb 3 days later, and He ascended to the Father, and His people ascended to the Father in Him. And right now, God says, our life is hid at God's right hand in Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh, believer, don't set your affection on things below. Don't set your affection on these trinkets down here. This is not our life. An unregenerate man sees this world and he thinks this is the only thing that's real. He thinks that all is real is terra firma. Terra firma is not firm. It's going to be burned up one day. What's real is what you don't see. What's real is God's kingdom. What's real is that kingdom Christ has created in His righteousness and His holiness. New Jerusalem, heavenly Mount Zion, His people made in the image of Christ with no sin in perfect righteousness where we'll dwell with Him forever. That's what's real. If you go through this life and you miss this and you meet God, I'm going to have to stand there. Brother Kevin's going to stand there. He's going to look you in the face. He's going to say, "I told you. I told you." And you will have gone through your entire life and missed the whole purpose. You will have missed the whole purpose of God. Wouldn't that be sad? Through faith in Christ, God puts that raiment of Christ on us. And then we say, Isaiah 61:10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with his ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." How do I have this robe? How do I get this righteousness? Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Man believeth unto righteousness. Stop working. Stop trying to earn God's acceptance and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin of righteousness is not by our doing, it's by Christ's doing. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Did He just make it possible for you to be made a sinner if you do something to make yourself a sinner? No, He made you a sinner. By one man's obedience, many shall be made righteous. He didn't make it possible. He did it. He did it. We're born of the Spirit. We're given faith in Christ. We're made, I get this now, we're made one with Christ. Verse 16, "She put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck." Jacob was made to feel and smell like Esau. It's better for us, brethren. A sinner created anew of God, born of God, is made one with Christ. We're made one with Christ. We're one with Him. We don't look like Him before God. We don't smell like Him before God. as he is, that's how we are. We're one with him. It's not as if. It's not God just pretending you're something you're not. In Christ, we are as Christ is. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You read Romans 6. God doesn't say, reckon yourself to be like you're dead in sin, but alive unto God. He says, you reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a reality. We come through faith in Christ because Christ is that bread from heaven. He's that savor God our Father loves. Verse 17, she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. This was a savory dish that the father, Jacob's father, delighted in. This is what he wanted brought to him, was this savory dish. Well, brethren, Christ is the bread from heaven. And he's the savor that God the Father delights in. The only savor he's going to be satisfied with is Christ. And you notice here, all this was prepared and put into Jacob's hands. He didn't prepare it. All this was done for him. Who makes you to differ from another? What do you have that you did not receive? Ready made from God. All of it was ready made, given. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me will never hunger. He'll never thirst. He's that savor God delights in. Now lastly, how does the Father receive a sinner that comes through faith in Christ? How will the Father receive us if we come through faith in Christ? Verse 18, and he came unto his Father and said, my Father, and he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? What you going to answer when God the Father says, who are you? You going to make a boast? Some are. Some are going to stand and say, well, I'm so-and-so. I did many wonderful works for you, and I cast out devils for you, and I preached in your name, and I did this and I did that. We have to come to the Father in Christ's name. Verse 19, Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. What you going to say if God the Father says, who are you? I'm Christ, your firstborn. I am him. I'm him. I'm standing here not on my own merit. I'm not standing here on my own word. I'm standing here in his name. There is salvation in no other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our Lord Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Faith in Christ claims the work of Christ as our works. That's what coming in his name is. It's claiming his works as our works. Verse 19, I have done according as thou bade me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. We can't say this in ourselves. We can't come before God our Father and ourselves and say, I've done as you commanded. But all who believe on Christ have done all that God the Father commanded. Through faith in Christ, we fulfilled everything that's written. Through faith in Christ, God will say to his child, well done, my good and faithful servant. The same thing he said to Christ. Well done, my good and faithful servant. A sinner made willing to come to God through faith in Christ gives all the glory to God our Father and to Christ his Son. We give all the glory to him. Watch this, verse 20. Isaac the father said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? How did you come here so quickly with everything I demanded you bring me? And he said, the Lord thy God brought it to me. How are you going to come to God and I'm going to say, Father, you chose me. Your Son redeemed me. Your Spirit regenerated me. Lord, you brought it to me. We glorify God. And so God the Father beholds the believer in Christ as Christ, and he blesses him with all the inheritance of Christ. Look at this, verse 21. And Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and he said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are Esau's." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. And so he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me, and I'll eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed." Believer in Christ with his garments on, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palace whereby they've made thee glad. Jacob came there and he felt like Esau. He smelled like Esau. He had the savory meat that his father delighted in. We're going to come to God in Christ with his garments on, smelling just like Christ, feeling just like Christ, having the savor the Father delights in, which is Christ. Everything's in Christ. Christ hath loved us and hath given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. That's the savor. And so God the Father gives each believer the blessing of Christ, making us joint heirs with Christ. Verse 28. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine, and let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. And cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed he that blesseth thee. If we're children, then we're heirs of God. Do you ever think about that? Child of God, you're an heir of God the Father. What does that mean? Paul told the Corinthians, all things are yours. Everything's yours. That nothing's left out of all things are yours. Nothing's left out. All things are yours. But you know what the believer wants? Our inheritance is Christ. And Christ's inheritance is his people. We're joint heirs with Christ. I pray God to give you grace to obey this word, to believe on Christ, to come in his garments, to come in Christ alone, in his name, in his works, to come one with Christ. As Paul said, "I don't want to be found having my own righteousness." Not at all. I want to be found having that righteousness which is through the faithfulness, the doing and dying of Christ Jesus my Lord. That righteousness given to me through faith in him. I pray God bless it. Thank y'all so much for your attention, and thank you for your kindness and your hospitality. I've really enjoyed this week. We'll continue to pray for you. I look forward to seeing you again.